from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Okay, so we're back, folks, and it's another Chiefs Kingdom Thursday. And despite our schedule being a little bit off, Seth and I are going to get into what's going on with the defense. And if you missed it, there's clips out there on Twitter, but there's an even better thing over on The Athletic about the new guy, Emmanuel Ogba.
Ogba, yes. I cannot tell you the number of times I miswrote Ogba's last name.
Yeah.
I could not stop putting Ogba, which... which is ridiculous, but I mean, in my defense, and I'm sorry if this sounds, you know, I understand culturally different names make sense, but Ogba and Ogba make equal amount of sense in my head. And so it was so bad. But yes, I wrote an article about Emmanuel Ogba. I reviewed four games of his from 2018 and some limited snaps from previous years, but the ones that I charted were in 2018.
Rock on. Yeah. And, you jumped on it even faster than me, and I was just going off of my normal notes that I keep when the Chiefs play teams. So I went back and checked on what I saw when they played Cleveland, and I felt like, you know, my notes were pretty limited on him, to tell you the truth. I had good push. I had not dynamic, and I had strong at the point of attack. So is that jive with what you saw?
Yeah, that jives a lot with what I saw. You know, he is, a lot of people were very, very quick to compare him to Alex Okafor. Mm-hmm. Here's the big thing, and this is something I'm actually going to start championing more and more. I understand that when you're talking about draft picks, especially, you draft traits, not necessarily production, mm-hmm. although production matters. Mm-hmm. Once players are at the NFL level, and they've managed to stay in the NFL for longer than a couple of years, barring something crazy, all of them are going to have some good traits.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. Even Christian Ponder, if I wanted to, I could make a Twitter thread of 30 spectacular plays by Christian Ponder.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to. It would take a long time. But it's very easy to do. And so this is something that I've actually been kind of on my soapbox on about lately. I'm trying to be very careful because I don't want to step on other analysts' feet, because what a lot of people do is they look for traits and they write about the traits. And those are important. Make no mistake. What someone can do is important. But it's more important when someone's been at the NFL level for a few years to review what they actually did on a snap-by-snap basis.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to see with Ogba, because yes, he is definitely strong at the point of attack most of the time. He definitely has some length and strength as a pass rusher. He definitely is not athletic, particularly quick or good change of direction. Like, those mm-hmm. are all traits. But the biggest takeaway from him, honestly, and this is the reason why I'm kind of waxing into all this, is people compare him to Alex Okafor. The biggest difference between him and Alex Okafor, and we can talk about why in a second, is that Okafor loses less often, and he wins way more.
Mm, okay, Okafor, that's good to know.
Okafor's a better player. At least he was last year. His win percentage was around, 18%. Ogba's was at 10.
Gotcha.
Okafor's loss percentage was around 20-21. Ogba's was at 23.3. And so there's a significant difference between the two, although stylistically, they are similar players.
Yeah, relying on power more than explosion and bend, right?
Right, absolutely. And there's just, and here's the interesting thing. You know, Ogba had a bunch of people, hey, go back, take a look at his rookie year. He definitely looked a little more explosive as mm-hmm. a rookie. And so I'm curious to see, because, you know, he did have an injury in 2018 that he was coming back from and all that stuff. So it could be that he wasn't quite as limber as he normally is. What I would say, you know, and we talked about Alex Okafor a lot on here, and the easiest thing to do would say he is, like, from what I'm seeing, a poor man's Okafor. Because I had people ask, well, is he a poor man's Houston? No, he's not. He's a homeless man's Houston at this point. He's strong, but he's not as strong. He doesn't have nearly as good technique as Okafor. Okafor has a little more variety to his pass rush game. His hand placement is better. Ogba is a strong guy with length who doesn't seem to be pass rushing with a plan consistently. But to be fair to him, Okafor was almost always on the edge, rushing from, like, you know, outside the tackle. Ogba was placed inside at five technique or even farther inside way too often, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was a three tech half the game that I watched. So Yeah, I'm with you. Well, let's take it back a step further. When you look at the acquisition of both those guys to play with Breland Speaks in a rotation, what does that tell you about the plan or what they're looking for this front four or seven to be?
With Ogba, it's tough to say specifically, you know, what the long-term plan is. Last year of his rookie deal, I think they're taking a flyer on a guy they think has some talent who could maybe help out this year and raise the floor of the defense a little. But you definitely see a type there, right? You see guys in Okafor, Ogba, and Speaks. Those are three guys who should definitely, definitely, definitely not play any snaps as an outside linebacker.
Right.
That's what you see there. They're looking for guys that are around the 270 range. And, you know, this came out today. I mean, it came out that Dee Ford was playing at like 230 pounds last year. Von Miller just talked about that he was playing at like 238 pounds last year. A lot of these guys, and even though, again, the 34-43 difference isn't as much as people make of it, but some of these guys that are doing, you know, 25% of their snaps as a 34 outside linebacker, they are running around at 230, 240. Whereas these guys, they're running around at 275. You know, they're running around at like Justin Houston's listed weight.
Yeah, that's the big difference. And like you said, even though you're not going to play in the base that often, it makes a difference. And that's why those guys have the speed. And do you see, and I talked about this with Matt, but as a plan for Steve Spagnuolo, it wants to be tough. I think it feeds into everything else, but this looks to me like, especially unless they get in situations where they want to send five, it seems like they have a four-man rush the majority of the time, and they want everybody to be able to push the pocket, have a good bull rush, and be able to condense what the quarterback has in front of him.
That's what I'm seeing too. There are a lot of people that are questioning right now, you know, who are the pass rushers who scare teams besides Chris Jones? I don't know if they're going to have any. I think you might be a situation where you line up, you know, either Speaks or Ogba on one edge. You've got Okafor on the other edge. And Okafor, again, I think Okafor is an above average pass rusher. And that's the difference between him and Ogba. I mean, I think Okafor is a markedly, markedly more polished and superior player. But it's all guys, and then say Derek Nnadi on the inside, or maybe they'll at times line up Speaks inside or Ogba inside. I think Speaks is a better fit inside, but that's neither here nor there. And maybe the idea is, yeah, we just want guys that can crush the pocket and then Jones to wreak havoc. But the other thing about Ogba that stood out to me, and this stood out in Okafor's film as well, he's a player that was asked to execute stunts in various roles quite a bit. And that was actually one of the strongest parts of his game.
That's good, because the thing that I noticed about him is it wasn't just when they lined him up inside. It wasn't just, you know, rotating to the outside. He came down behind blocks sometimes to get into the A-gaps as well.
Right. And so those are some of his best snaps, because even though he's not a quick player, he does in straight line situations accelerate and find the gap quickly. And that's a big deal. And that's something that I think you can definitely leverage into a guy who can run some of these stunts that I think they're going to be planning on doing. So when you've got guys like, you know, Speaks, I don't know if he can do it. I just don't know if he has that acceleration. But when you've got guys like Okafor and Ogba, you can line them up wherever and have them stunt and move around at the line of scrimmage. Chris Jones can do that too. And so I do think you see some of that versatility in that sense that I think they're looking for.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that tells me that they're going to move guys around. They're going to supplement with some blitzing and definitely the stunts. But I think they want to be able to just send four.
I think that's definitely the way it looks. I know Spagnuolo is a big fan of like blitzing slot corners and blitzing safeties as well. But I think it's going to be very different from what we're used to, where it's like essentially five linemen blitzing, or, you know, with one of them blitzing being essentially another lineman.
Yeah, I think it's going to create some mismatches, and I think that's probably the overall goal. So,
yeah.
Good start, right?
Yeah, I would say it's a good start. Hey, I have questions for you, too. Lots of them, actually, but I think we need to take a break first. So,
yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. So right after this, everyone, you can hear the questioner become the questionee.
Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long, with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today, and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app.
All right, we're back. That sounded vaguely ominous, and I don't even care. All right, Ryan, okay, the draft. I am going to review a few players before the draft. Not that many, because
it's wasted
I can't
time.
I can't bring myself to do it. I don't want to review 100 players that the Chiefs didn't take.
I know you don't.
I was just like, oh, that seems horrible. And then that actually makes it tougher for me to review them later in their careers. But you, my friend, you are a man who has a plan. You are a man with a matrix.
I am.
You are a man who has like a whole system and stuff and things people like me can't understand, but it works very well for you. And so I have questions about the draft because you are my draft guy.
Let's do this.
What are they going to do?
Man, I don't know, bro.
But I mean, so, okay, you're Brett Veach with the roster as it's currently constructed. Let's assume, and I think we're all kind of thinking they've got one more big move. I don't know. I feel like they do. You should trade for Patrick Peterson. But that's right. I said they should trade.
Once
for
again,
Peterson.
You and I are on the same page about that.
Yeah. Trade for a corner. Make the need not so dire. This cornerback group is not that impressive anyway.
Well, and I'll tell you why, because everyone's like overwhelming that the talent in this draft is in the defense, right? And I would still agree. But here's the thing. If the positions that the Chiefs need still, it's very feast or famine. And
that's at corner especially you're talking?
Oh, yeah, completely. And I like two guys in particular. My favorite is Byron Murphy, the guy, a little bit smaller dude, in the same defense that Marcus Peters played in at Washington. Byron Murphy is a guy that can play that really off man or zone really, really well. He comes downhill really well, attacks the ball. Nice, nice player. Just not fast enough to cover in man down the field. His lateral agility is so. Tracking, you know, shadowing a guy might be a little bit difficult.
Okay. Who's your other guy?
Greedy Williams is the kid out of LSU, right? And he's the total opposite.
Yes.
Like speed. He didn't do the agilities either, so I don't know what he's hiding there, but there might be a little bit there. But he's
was there a ball carrier during the agilities? Because
we're gonna get to that. And that's the thing, like he's long, he's skinny, he's tall, and he's got speed. But he doesn't want to hit. He doesn't want to tackle a ball carrier. And I wonder just exactly what he'll be like 2 years down the road. Because I can tell you that Murphy's going to get better if he has to cover man, even though that's not probably his strength. I don't know if the opposite would be true with Williams.
Right. You don't know. So what you're saying, just so I'm clear. So with Murphy or Williams, so neither of them are what you'd call an elite corner prospect.
Well, they're good. I think Murphy is, but he's got to be in his own scheme.
Okay. So they're not perfect prospects, but Murphy's definitely got more upside, you think?
I do.
Okay. And so do you see either of them as a particularly better fit for what you think Spagnuolo's going to do?
See, that's the thing is I'm going to use those two as a barometer. I truly feel that because there's such a shortage at the corner position that there's those two guys and there's a gap. There's two inside linebackers and there's a huge fall off. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to tell us what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do.
Sure. Cause
I don't think they're going to pick at 29. I think they're going to try to go up, and unless they fail miserably at that and they move down, I think you're going to see a pick somewhere in the teens.
Sure.
And I think it might be for one of these guys.
Sure. So for you, corner is the major thing. What about safety? Are there any safeties that you like, or do you see that being a direction that the Chiefs could go?
There's a number. A lot of guys that are, that I think really fit what we've seen the Chiefs want to do in terms of versatility. I mean, that's more and more. That's like the key word of this defense, right? Matthew can play free safety, but he's great as a nickel corner, right? So's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Uh-huh. Exact fill for that same thing. You want to run dual safeties that can drop all the way back and play single high or come up and take a slot corner or be a slot corner? Sure. Darnell Savage is super fast, can play free. Nasir Adderley is super fast, can play free.
Adderley.
Right?
Man.
I still think he's the best.
I like him. This is just a side thing. You're my draft guy. Tell me if I'm wrong here. I mean, for one, he's got range for days.
Yes.
But he is not afraid to hit.
No. And he's kind of a slight guy. That's the interesting thing.
Right.
It does give me a little bit of pause. I mean, like Sutton from Denver going over the middle and he comes up to pop him. I don't know that he wins that contact.
Right. Yeah. He's going to have to like sweep the leg or something.
Yeah.
But what about, do you know anything about a guy that a lot of people want me to watch that I haven't? Thornhill?
Yeah. Again, rangy, can play back there. I've heard a couple of disparaging things about the mental acuity part. Learning defense, being instinctive off of what you see. As an athlete, I think he's completely there. But at the same time, you know, if he gets pro coaching, that changes things. So while I still think he's a good prospect, I think he's definitely a day two guy and probably a round three guy, but definitely okay. Somebody that could help.
Okay. So let me ask you, you know, you talked about the corners first. Do you see that as the principal need the Chiefs should address in the draft? Or is there one that if it were you, because you talked about trading up. So, I mean, so you'd think trade up, try to get your guy, right?
I think that's what they want to do. And for me, in the first round, especially if you're talking about trading up, it's got to be one of four positions.
Okay.
Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, or corner. Those are the only things that are worth the value you have to spend to go up. So I think it could be one of those corners. I think what they've done in setting this edge group of power rushers, I think those guys are more likely to have somebody there at 29.
Mm-hmm.
I think the really coveted guys are going to be speed rushers, which the Chiefs don't really have. So that could still be an option if you're trying to supplement all this power rush you have with somebody that has speed.
Right. Well, the problem with great speed rushers is often that they go earlier than great power rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I asked people who they want me to review and they said, Burns out of FSU.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that dude, there's no chance that he falls far enough for the Chiefs to trade up for him. Because, I mean, I watched a couple things. The guy moves like a defensive back.
He does move well, but I think he'll be there in the teens.
Ooh, yeah.
He's not a top 10 pick.
See, and this is why I have you around. Because you can.
Well, and there's differing opinion on that, right?
Sure.
But in my opinion, you have Allen, who's going to be a speed rusher. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a top 10 pick.
Okay.
I actually wouldn't spend it on him because he doesn't defend the run worth of anything. but I think the next tier down is Burns as a speed rusher. And I think he will be there in the teens.
Sure. So do you think, and we'll ask one more question, then we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with more of me interrogating you and trying to learn stuff about the draft. So do you see them, if they are trading up, do you think it's for an edge, or do you think they like where they're at with Okafor, Speaks, and Ogba?
I think they might be happy with the base. And I think it comes down to, because they don't have any speed, and eventually you need a Leo somewhere, right? There are going to be times when you need a speed rush. I don't know that it's enough that you got to do it in the first round. There are some guys with some very good speed that aren't as accomplished that can be backups for a third or fourth round pick. And I think that might be the sweet spot for them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have many, 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 many more questions. This is fun. This is like, this is so much easier than me doing my homework. Oh, this is so much easier. All right. We're going to take one more quick break and then I'm going to continue to interrogate Ryan.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
I am enjoying this role. The roles are flipped. I am the questioner. And you know what? I got to say, I like it. I feel mad with power right now.
You should feel good when I say this. I want to talk to my lawyer.
Yeah. Why don't you shine a light in my eyes? All right. So, okay. Here's a good question I want to ask you. I'm going to ask two questions. First one's yes or no. And the second one's an elaboration one. So, question one, do you think Ed Oliver drops due to size concerns?
It depends where you had him in the first place. If you thought he was a top five pick, yes.
Do you think he gets below the top 10?
I think he does. I think he's also in the teens.
So, okay, now here's the second one. It's, say, pick 15, and Ed Oliver's still there. Do you trade up to grab him?
Ooh, man, I would be very tempted to do that if I was Brett Veach. The question, of course, will be the compensation, but he's not Aaron Donald.
No.
You can't compare him apples to oranges to that. Although athletically, he's actually above Aaron Donald in his athletic.
Well, you just can't expect him, you know, athletically he is. And here's the interesting thing. And tell me if you see this too. On tape, now, no, his tape is not as good as Donald's college tape. Donald's college tape, how he wasn't like the first overall pick is beyond me. Because I remember watching his college tape. It was like, what is everyone hesitating for here? Like, he was...
Yeah, he's a man among boys.
Yeah, he was completely dominant strength-wise. Oliver doesn't have quite that same, like, holy crap, like Chris Jones-level strength.
Right.
However, he has good strength, too. He's got good power. And so he's a guy, if he fell, you'd be pretty tempted. You know, obviously, you'd have to figure some stuff out schematically. But, you know, these guys only play 70% of the snaps anyways.
Right.
You can't tell me him and Chris Jones could spell each other. Sometimes one of them could. You could line up Jones and Oliver on the edge.
I would see. That's what I was just going to say. He is movable and he'll probably only play at maybe 270. So he's definitely a guy that can go all the way from. I don't think I'd put him at a one tech, but he can play anywhere from 3 out to 9 as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And he's got, I mean, his athleticism is off the charts.
Yeah.
In terms of what he can do. Now, I don't think he should be a full-time edge like what some people are suggesting, because you see the way he moves in the interior. He's got good power there. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But so if he drops, he's a guy. Is there anyone else? So, you know, so who are your guys if they drop to, let's say, we'll say 14 is where we're saying it, not 15.
14.
14. Who are the guys that if they drop to 14, you got to pick up the phone and make a call to at least see? Ed Oliver is one.
He is one.
Who else?
I think Allen would be one, Josh Allen. I don't like him against the run. I wouldn't want to spend a top 15 pick, and that's what I've said consistently since I watched his first film. So your 14 is throwing me off a little bit, but he's got enough juice. And here's the thing is he can play coverage really well. So he's got versatility in another way that as a supplemental pass rusher who can play coverage, if you want him to, they don't have a dedicated Sam at this point, as far as I can see. So there's an option there, but
you're not on the Damian Wilson fan bus.
I remain willing to watch, but I want to see it.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, there's that. I think because of the corner class, I think Murphy and Williams will be available somewhere between 15 and 25. So I don't know, at 14, I got to go jump up there.
Right. Are you afraid that because of the nature of this corner class, though, you might lose out on them early just because after them, from everything I'm hearing, there are some guys who are a fan of Baker something or other.
DeAndre Baker out of Georgia.
DeAndre Baker out of Georgia. I like Georgia defensive players, generally speaking.
As do I.
But my understanding is it is, for most people, a sizable step from those top two to number three.
It's enormous to me. Okay. His athleticism didn't meet my threshold.
Oh, sure.
Profile. And he's undersized. Production-wise, he was okay. Hawk rate in like just under 20. So that's PBUs and interceptions versus targets. He likes to say that he's the best corner in the league. And I think he probably might be in this draft, for the first 5 yards. After that, it starts to fall apart.
Sure. Okay. So is there any fear that because of that, the corners might go early and you're just hosed if you don't do something aggressive to get one of those first two?
There could be, but neither of the top guys here, while I think they're both good, neither of them are Pat Peterson, who went, what, 11th, was it? Or 5th?
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'm trying to do that justification of what's it really worth, and is it because the class is artificially diminished, is that make it worth spending more?
Are either of them, like, on a Denzel Ward level?
No, not even close.
Oh, okay. And you're talking, so there's a huge gap between Ward last year and these guys as even the top prospects this year.
Yeah, these guys would still be going in the teens as far as I can estimate if they had come out last year, too. They weren't going to be pushing him for the number one.
Okay. Well, that clarifies some stuff there. Well, okay, let me flip the script here. We just have a couple minutes left. Actually, I'm going to leave it up to you to tell me when we're done, because, you know, that way it'll give you a chance to be like, no, Seth, that's enough. And I know that's a dream of yours. All right, so let me flip it to the other side of the ball. Do you see the Chiefs moving up for an offensive player?
Man, that's a tough one. And I think the Hill situation is going to tell us whether that's going to happen. And if it does, it's because they have concern. I think there are a couple of wide receivers that are worth doing it. There's nobody in this running back class. The Chiefs don't even need to touch one until the sixth round, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes it off the board. There's some athletic tight ends, but I think the two that I prefer in Fant and Moreau are likely either at 29 or maybe a little bit below. I don't think you want to spend capital to go up for a tight end. Like I said, there's only four positions that I would trade up for, and tight end ain't one of them.
Right. So you're so TJ Hockenson drops to 21. You're not saying, man, we sure could run ourselves an interesting offense through Kelce and Hockenson.
You could, but is it worth giving up that third round pick? Because that's what you'd have to do, if not more.
Right. Right.
And to me, that doesn't seem like a good trade off.
Sure. Especially when they've got that extra second round pick. And there are a lot of good tight ends in this draft. Because, I mean, you mentioned two. Who are you two guys, Fant and
Moreau?
Moreau. I've watched a little of Moreau. That guy can move.
Hmm. Yes, he can.
I was looking at a little bit of Sternberger. I can't quite tell, but I like that he's versatile. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he looks like he could be a yards after catch dude. And, I mean, a lot of these guys, they're really, I was going 10 deep in, you know, CBS's ratings or whoever of tight ends. And I was looking at even like the ninth and 10th guy. I was like, wow, these guys, I mean, there's a lot there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you have Irv Smith. You have even Drew Sample is a lot better pass catcher than he appears to be. And he can block.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about flavor with the tight ends and versatility than anything else.
I feel like a lot of years Irv Smith would be considered maybe the top prospect or Fant or, I mean, there's a lot of guys who could be. And just this year, there's like five or six guys that it's like, wow, these guys are all really good.
Yeah. I mean, Fant's the only one that pushes athleticism beyond Kelce.
Right.
So Moreau's right tied with Kelce in my metrics. So like that is the level that, okay, that's an all pro level athleticism.
Yeah, I like it. You had me at matches up with Kelce. Well, I've just got this crazy theory that if there is an issue with Hill, you know, they could run them a lot of 12 personnel. And really mess with teams. All right. One more question. So you mentioned maybe wide receiver. Are there any wide receivers that you're in love with from this class that might be worth moving up to get? And I know they don't fall into your four, but let's say move up a couple places or just draft if they fall to 29.
There's a couple that I'm intrigued by. I'm not in love in general because I find that wide receiver is probably the least predictable transition from college to the NFL. Look at who the top guys are in the NFL and what did they do in college. It's not like they were all top of the heap. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
So guys that I'm intrigued by, and only because he's not as shifty, but I like his downfield attack. And if the Chiefs were to lose Hill for whatever reason, I think Brown out of Oklahoma is a guy that can stretch the field like he can. He's not as shifty. So you're not going to get as much breakaway. And he's small and he's been injured. So as much as I like him, there's takeaway there. Everybody's going to talk about DK Metcalf, who is not even a first round pick to me.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's had significant injury history. Like he could take one hit to the head and never play again. So I cannot justify a first round pick for him, but he's got long speed.
Yep. Yep. I think we've seen the issue with a guy who doesn't have good lateral agility. That concerns me with him.
Yeah, you want to know who DK Metcalf matches up to in the Athletics?
Chris Conley.
He's right next to him.
Yep, that's kind of what I figured. And Conley, for as great an athlete in shorts, we saw how that resulted in terms of getting separation. I'm sorry, I got to ask one more, and I'll do it really quickly. What do you think of Hakeem Butler?
I think he doesn't move laterally as well as I would like. I think he's closer to Metcalf than he is to anybody that can play in the slot, although he lined up a ton in the slot. Mm-hmm. I don't like his in-breaking routes. He rounds them off and it doesn't look terribly crisp to me, but he can go long. He can run the post in the corner. He's a huge man.
He is huge.
His, The only other thing is when he's got to hold on when he gets his mitts on it. He's got the worst drop rate in this class.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Your job's to catch the ball.
I feel like I know things about the draft now. I might not try to read a single other thing now. Just to, so I can fly. No, I'm kidding. I'll probably review a player or two.
But man, I was gonna say, you got to read Dane's because I'm going to do it as soon as it's released.
Yeah, Dane's stuff is always consistently good. I mean, Dane is just, he's unbelievable at what he does.
Yeah. And that's Dane Brugler, folks, with The Athletic, if you didn't get that tie-in.
TheAthletic.com, where there's wonderful coverage.
Well, this is fun. I like talking draft.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I like letting you talk draft because I'm usually like, oh, I like the fast guy.
Yay, you know? Go fast.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, fast is better than slow. You heard it here first.
Well, there's plenty more to talk about, and I'm sure we can do more as we get closer to the draft. So, folks, make sure you hit The Athletic for Seth's look at Agba. And what's next, Seth?
Vacation.
Oh, good.
I might drop an article about a prospect or two just because that's something I might do for fun while on vacation. But I am in Florida until the 9th. And so if I try to submit an article, my editor has told me he's going to hurt me. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think your wife might do the same.
So. Yeah, she might get a little upset too. So we're very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. But then, of course, I'm going to come back, review some prospects. And then obviously once the draft occurs, I'll have my hands full reviewing those prospects, or not prospects, but rookies. And then, you know, the big off-season film reviews resume.
Rock and roll, folks. Make sure you don't miss a beat of it. He'll be back in a week or so, and we'll keep you occupied until then. So that's it for us today. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.